cup. Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air everywhere, the vast and ever-expanding podcast empire, the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and somebody else. We'll get to him in a minute. Because 4 hours are not enough on the overnight during the week, and we are now doing this 8 days a week. Please support the podcast. And we're joined by David Gascon, for better or worse. He's right over there, Gascon Blovey, anyway. And we do need the podcast support, right, Gascon? This is important, right? We've said this before, but the people, the overlords of podcasting at this company, reviews are important. Downloads are important. The numbers are important. So we need your help is what I'm trying to say.
Yes. I mean, we get pretty good reviews weekly. I think we need to have more positive reviews for me than you, but that's just a personal opinion.
Yeah. No, but I'm a big believer in the it's called guerrilla marketing. It's the only advertising we ever get. I saw Fats in Philadelphia this week. He put the Maller brand in the middle of the store, the grocery store, which was pretty cool. Some free advertising there. Ben Maller right there, Ben Maller Show. And then our guy, Matt, in Boston, Moving Man Matt, and he put on his truck as he travels across the country, Maller Militia. So that's that's pretty cool. That's free advertising. That's guys that love the show, that are supporting the show. And so it's pretty neat. But it's really simple. I mean, the cool thing about this is it's like a lot of these podcasts, and eventually I'll probably get to this when they fire me and I'll have to do my own thing. I'll charge you per month to listen to the content. But now it's free. All you have to do is just listen and support the advertisers, as they say. But for us, it's the five-star reviews on the podcast platform you use. And it's downloading, getting other people to download. Like, I'm not against if you've got, your parents are a little older and they got smartphones and they don't really know what's going on. I'm not against saying, hey, dad or mom or grandma or grandpa, can I borrow your phone for a second? I want to set you up on this podcast. And they'll be like, what? I don't know what a podcast is. And then you set it up and then they get it automatically. When they subscribe, it automatically goes to their phone. Now, it helps if they actually listen, but even if they don't listen, having more subscribers does help.
Yes, so. It does. Now, have you had a listener get a tattoo of you yet?
No, that would be a weird one. That no one has done that. The only one I know in radio that has had that happen is the great Tony Bruno.
Oh,
and a caller from Maine, Mr. Main Event, he passed away a couple of years ago. But that guy was an over-the-top sports radio caller, Mr. Main Event. And he loved Tony Bruno. And he's always he was also an Italian guy. Bruno's, thick Italian guy. And so he got a tattoo of Tony Bruno on his body. He had a few tattoos already of like Italian sports stars, that he had put on his body. But that's the only one I know. I don't know that would be weird. I would be like, well, what? I don't know. You really want to do that? But if you love tattoos, I wouldn't like stop you from doing it, I wouldn't stop you from doing it. And I'd promote the hell out of it. Absolutely.
It'd be a little intense. Maybe, I mean, Fats has lit himself on fire. You've had Doc Mike send you.
Don't encourage this, Gascon.
I didn't encourage it.
I feel like you're encouraging Fats to do this. Do not do that.
No, I said
Fats nothing. Fats is so crazy, he'd get my name tattooed on his ass. That's how crazy he is. Do I really want that? I don't know that I want that.
Oh, man. Well, that'd be a sight to see.
Well, I know you'd probably like to see that. You'd like to see that. Anyway, hey, listen, before we get going on the podcast, cameo.com, cameo.com. Search my name, Ben Maller. Do a personalized video message for you right there in the studio. I usually do these in the studio. If you want me to do it in a different room in the Maller Mansion, I will do that as well. You want me to go outside? I'll go outside. You can pretty much choreograph where you want this to be. Oh. If you want Bella.
That's a great idea. So if anyone wants to arrange an instant, I guess what we would say, a provocative video for you on social media. How about this? Someone should request you do a video on Cameo from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. I think I do it.
That's a great point. I do it from the remote Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. As you know, much like Clay Travis and many of these people who are working out of remote studios. And so I do it from the remote studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, follow us on social media, Facebook. We use Facebook a lot for the podcast. A lot of the content. In fact, today's podcast, most of it comes from questions sent in by listeners like yourself to the Facebook page. Ben Maller Show, and follow us along there and get other people to do that as well. And then on Instagram, Ben Maller on Fox, and on Twitter, at Ben Maller. Gascon, how can the unwashed reach you?
Twitter, at David J. Gascon. Instagram is at Dave Gascon. So follow me there, por favor. What are we doing today? What do we got on the menu?
All right, we have Be or Not to Be and Mailbacks. Very simple, very straightforward. Here we go. Let's start. You want to start with Be or Not to Be? Let's start with Be or Not to Be.
I think it's fair to say that. So, yes. Yeah, so, Ben, this is an ode to the Babylon Bee, which I know you're a big fan of, and I've grown to have an appreciation for.
I like that we're doing this bit because now I only have to hear Babylon Bee stories one day a week as opposed to 5 or 6 days a week when you would feed my phone and my social media with these stories.
All right, so these are the five titles that did not make the cut. We'll start there first. These did not make the cut. Alien reports no intelligent life on Earth after landing in Portland, Oregon.
All right.
That did not make the cut.
That's good.
Millennial drops support for socialism after learning how hard it is to get avocado toast in Venezuela.
Okay.
That's pretty good. California converts carpool lanes into riders' lanes.
I get you. That did not make the cut, though.
How about this one? Struggling chemistry teacher takes to life of crime, manufacturing plastic straws to sell in the streets of Santa Barbara.
That's pretty funny. That's so Santa Barbara, too.
And last but not least, Nevada church avoids coronavirus restrictions by installing slot machines.
Hey, there you go. I like that. Those are good. All right.
Pretty good.
Now we get to the meat stuff. We get to the good stuff.
The meat and potatoes. Now, this one's an ode to Benny versus the Penny, because typically we get half and half on the selections. It's much like craps. You're either going black or red, or you get the green. The green's usually Sunday Night Football. But, Ben, if games are not on CBS, where do people usually go to watch their games?
If the game's on, we'll go to Fox or whatever, right?
So we go on Fox. You got a better watch. So, yeah. Ben, Fox announces in the fall they have a new show. It's called Night at the Museum, Revenge of the Statues. Is that B or not the B?
They've tried some crazy stuff over the years on television and Fox, but I'm going to say that's the B.
It is the beat. Ode to all the statues being torn down and taken down all across the United States for any and all reasons.
Yes. It's pretty wild. I think we should put new statues up so future generations can tear statues down. I think that's what we should do.
We're doing that in front of like Staples Center and in front of all these other arenas.
Sports statues are the one statue that people haven't torn down. Unless... That's not true, because like Joe Paterno had his statue removed, right? Like
and Jerry Richardson out in Carolina with the Panthers.
Yeah. So even that is not. But most of these athletes get a free pass. I mean, if you knew what some of these guys did back in the day, I mean, they were wild people with the morality of today compared to the morality of when they were athletes.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, look, even Muhammad Ali, you can go down the list. I mean, a lot of these guys lived wild lives.
Right? That's right. I mean, the 80s Lakers.
Oh, like, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Except A.C. Green.
Yeah, that's
Except
true.
A.C., my man A.C., he kept it in his pants.
Yeah, that's right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
How about this one, Ben, the B or not the B? Georgia detectives discover dead body is sex doll.
Well, I mean, this... I'd like to think that now is this where the report came in and they went out there and then they realized it was a sex doll, or was this the police initially thought it was a sex doll? That changes the story.
Yeah, they were investigating a crime,
so they got called on this, but they didn't know. Okay.
Yes.
So I I believe that's true. Because I, my wife tells me stories. She's a 911 operator. She tells me stories of the crazy stuff people call it. They think it's something and it's not.
Yeah.
So I think that I'll say this.
All right. So you are 2 for 2.
Yeah.
In fact, in Liberty County, deputies had gotten to a crime scene, but they couldn't approach the body and they couldn't touch it until the coroner got there because of policy. So when the coroner got there, they investigated the corpse, and it turned out it was actually a sex doll. So,
That sex doll must have really been a bad sex doll to meet his demise like that. Can you imagine?
The B or not the B? How about this one? Hillary Clinton suggests that Americans vote for president by email.
All right, so let's break this down scientifically. Does it sound like it's, I haven't heard Hillary do any interviews recently. Maybe she has and I missed it.
Earlier this week, President Trump said they might delay the election because of the mail-in voting.
Yeah, but she's not really done a lot of media stuff, so I have not heard it. I think I would have heard, that's one I probably, if that was true, I would have heard that. So I'm going to say that's Babylon B.
Yes, it is the Babylon Bee.
Yeah.
On this one.
Not to say that she's probably not thinking it. The funny thing about the Babylon Bee with this type of story is now if she comes out and says in the future weeks, hey, I think that Americans should vote for president by email, they'll say, wait a minute, that was a Babylon Bee story, but she actually said it. You know, it's like those things from The Simpsons when they become reality. In fact, our guy, I'm having a mental block, the political guy we had on, was it last week?
Dave Rubin.
Yeah, Dave Rubin. He tweeted out a Flintstones video about media control that was pretty funny. And many people think that, based on the pulling of the YouTube and the Facebook video this week, that is really, The Simpsons nailed that one.
Yeah. They've hit some great ones in the past.
Yeah. Well, you're on for 30 years. You take some chances, sure.
That's true. How about this one's going to be tough because of the location. Florida woman who posted a viral video questioning why officers pulled a gun on her, caught stealing a car.
All right. So, woman... She claims the officers were making a video of her or something like that.
Yeah, she questioned the officers because they pulled her over.
Yeah.
And pointed a gun at her. And it turned out she stole a car.
All right. I think this one's true because this sounds... I've heard similar versions of this story. So if it's Babylon Bee, I feel like I've heard something like this somewhere, you know, you get stopped for like something and you're like, why'd you pull me over? I wasn't speeding. And then they find out you had like a warrant or whatever. I'm going to say that's true.
Yeah. You're four for four, Ben.
All right. Yeah. I'm on fire. I was born for be or not to be.
Oh man. So check this out. This woman in Tampa Bay, she actually posted a video that went viral of police officers pulling her over, drawing a gun on her after she was pulled over in reportedly what was a stolen car. She now faces charges, Ben, of failing to return a leased vehicle and have a fraudulent credit card that was in use. So,
look at that.
So she went from telling officers that she was actually borrowing a friend's car to actually not borrowing it to stealing a leased car, never returning it.
That reminds me, one of my favorite shows, and I don't even know if it's still on, and I haven't watched it in years, but I used to love it, was Bait Car.
Did you ever
watch Bait Car?
Yeah.
Is that still on?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. But that was a good show. And my favorite part was when they would turn the kill switch on the car that was the bait car, and then they'd go and approach the person, and then they'd say, oh, I was just moving the car, or I was helping a friend out, or something like that, or you know, I wasn't stealing it. I love the excuses. I love that. That was hilarious. the crap people would come up with when we know they were caught red-handed, it was the car was planted. So great.
Last one on the B or not the B.
All right. Ben I can go Miller. 5 for 5 if I get this right.
First
the pressure
time ever.
Is on.
Yeah. Man loses limb skydiving.
Man loses limb skydiving. I think that can see that. I don't want to screw this one up. I remember I got four right, and then I screwed up the last one. I'm going to say that's true.
Wow, you're 5 for 5.
Yeah! Batting 1,000.
I couldn't use the full context because I'm sure you would have gotten it right for sure. But, Ben, last week, a guy jumped out of a plane in Addison County who's skydiving in a popular spot. But the trick in all this is he actually had an artificial limb that he lost while skydiving. He lost it and needed to get someone else to retrieve it for him. He said in a quote, "I think my adrenaline was so high and I was just excited. I didn't realize I had lost it." He lost his artificial leg while skydiving. Can you imagine though, trying to land?
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh, and that moment when you realize the leg is out and then you're like, "Oh, man, jeez." There you go. Jump out of a plane. You never know what's going
to
happen.
Would you be more inclined to jump out of a plane or to bungee jump?
Man, I wouldn't do either. But I guess if I had to choose, I would bungee jump because at least in theory, you figure maybe the rope won't snap.
Yeah.
But jumping out of a plane, man. Oh, I'm sure it's great for the first couple of minutes, but.
Yeah. My cousin said he did it. And they did it for a bachelor party. He says the shot of adrenaline you get from doing it, they had a beer right after they landed, and he said he passed out the rest of the day. He slept all day after that. He was just so drained from the adrenaline rush.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, man. I wonder how long does the average skydive last? You've never done it, have
no,
you?
No, never. But
would you do it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'd be more inclined to skydive than a bungee jump.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I just...
Don't you want to leap off a bridge and...
Like, no, because if that thing snaps, like, you know you're going right into the ground, at least. At least if you're skydiving, you have an idea of where you're going for a landing spot anyway, because usually they're talking about, like, some kind of terrain.
Guess, Scott, if the chute doesn't open, it doesn't matter where you're landing.
I know,
it's flat.
But,
you're a pancake. You're dead. It's over. Lights out. Game over.
But if you're skydiving, you're usually skydiving with friends or you're skydiving with a guide.
Still, though. I mean, we've seen stories. We've read stories. We've talked about stories where people thought that, you know, they had a guide and the guide had done it for 30 years and this was the day the chute didn't open.
Yeah.
You know, this was when they both died, and that's it.
Yeah. So,
boy, imagine that. You're falling. You're like, oh, this is the greatest time of my life. All right, let's pull the chute.
I'm dead.
Nothing comes out.
Oh, man.
And then you got the rest of the time. And that's like the same thing. I mean, I can still close my eyes and see the videos of those people jumping off the World Trade Center.
Oh, yeah.
In 9/11 and how terrible that. I mean, to think that was your only option. You know, that was that of the two choices you had, that was the one. And
Ugh.
All right. Very ghoulish, macabre.
Yes. Very dark.
I blame you.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Time now for the mailbag. Actual questions by actual listeners. Thus, we call it the mailbag. And thank you for the questions. You guys have been great. And we ask on Wednesdays, and you guys fill up the mailbag, and we try to get everyone on. We don't have time for everyone. So we cherry pick random questions. All right, here we go. Vols fan Jimmy from Fayetteville, Tennessee. Longtime Maller Militia Man writes in. He says, "Ben, will you make the Benny Award for best fill-in for the crew? Jonas has the advantage because no one will sit in your chair. Eddie is making a strong push, and so is Brian Finley. You know who wants even to be nominated is West of the 405. Now, you don't want... Let me answer that, Jimmy. Gascon does not want to be... Mr. West of the 405 does not want to be nominated because he can't handle the overnights.
No, that's not true.
He's such a pussy willow that the overnight lifestyle is too much. Otherwise, he would fill in, but they don't even call him. He's on the do not call list.
Yes.
Because he cannot handle the hours. He's a daytime guy. He's an evening guy. He's not an overnight guy. Not everyone's cut out for it. You know, not everyone's made for the military. Not everyone's made for overnight radio.
You know, I got to the network, and that's exactly the shift that I started on with Jonas and a couple other guys. I went overnight. But, you know, I mean, we have ambitions, and we have things that we want to do, and certain people are content with staying that way.
Let me explain to you how syndicated radio works. I know you're new to syndicated radio. I've been in the business a long time in syndicated radio. Working overnight, you're actually on more affiliates. Yes. I am cleared by more radio stations than Colin Cowherd or Dan Patrick being on where I am. So you're actually, you're available on big, massive radio stations. And you would be shocked how many people have insomnia and how many people can't sleep or how many people, you know, a couple days a week, they stay up late, whatever. So I actually have more of a reach by doing the overnight show. If I went to a daytime show, I'd make more money because the advertising is more expensive, but I would have less people listening. It's odd.
Well, no,
it's
how that works. I know that. I mean, people also listen to you on the Armed Forces Network. Like, they listen to you in Japan and Australia and Germany. Like,
And all the ships at sea,
Yeah, I get that. It's just you have the luxury of working 4 hours on a show. Or, you know, filling
four
in.
4 hours. Yeah. You know, each hour of, it's like dog years. Each hour of talk radio is like 7 hours. Did you know that? You don't know that because you know, you're not like a host guy.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, but when we do these podcasts, it almost feels like it's cut in half, right? Because it's easy, it's free flowing, there's no drama, there's plenty of conversation. I'm awake. I know you're not usually working with, you know, people that are,
You're just unloading now.
Well, I'm just
I work a 4 hour show and I put 7 hours of prep into each hour. That's a 28-hour workday.
Yeah.
So I'm working 28 hours a day on the show, and you times that by five, I'm working 140 hours a week just on the radio show, and the podcast we don't put any effort into, so it's different. But 140 hours a week.
Yeah. Now, do you think that anchors should be there during overnight hours for 7, 8, 9 hours a night?
Well, the way I look at it, the way the business is going, getting rid of a lot of the news anchors, I think you should just be happy if you're a news anchor, because I have friends of mine that have lost their job that were sports update guys. So I think, you know, I'm all for the more jobs, the merrier in radio, because it's already a small enough circle that work in this business. So I think if, you know, rather than bitch and complain about it, I think, you know, why not? Enjoy the fact that you actually still have gainful employment.
Well, I'm who's bitching and moaning about it?
Sounds like you're complaining.
No, I'm
like
not.
You had ulterior motives.
I'm talking about the purpose because you want to fetch the stories, you want to hunt down the stories, and you want the news, you want that flow of activity, right? Like, you don't want to be a bump on a log. And so that's what I'm trying to tell you. I think that's the joy of doing daytime radio.
Yeah. No, I hear you. All right, let's see here. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Pierre from Springfield writes, and he says, Ben, just like the Maller militia eat their own, the cancel culture and mainstream media have once again set their sights on another of the Hollywood elites, this time Ellen DeGeneres. Do you think it's time for a new segment of the Fifth Hour? So this is Pierre helping us with content.
Okay.
All right, he says, do you think it's time for a new segment here dedicated to the latest pop culture sports figure or anything else that is deemed offensive, sexist, racist, bigoted? And he even came up with a name for the bit. He says, another one bites the dust. He said, you can call it another one bites the dust. So he wants us to feature someone or something in pop culture that has been canceled by the mob.
That's a pretty good idea, like, because we could have completely opposite takes on it too, right? Like, where I would feel that it shouldn't be canceled and you do, and vice versa.
There's very few things I think should be canceled.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very small, it's like a thimble, the amount. But that's actually good, Pierre. We'll consider that. We're all about the content, and I mean, I know we'll obviously bring it up for something big in sports, but we can do pop culture. We're allowed to do pop culture here. All right, Matt in Dallas-Fort Worth writes in. He says, Ben, don't you think it's time to change the name of the Maller Militia? Because he's referencing cancel culture. If forced to change the name, because, you know, militia promotes violence and is offensive to pacifists and Brian Finley, what would you select? Well, Matt, thank you for your patronage. I appreciate that. And I didn't even come up with the militia, the Maller Militia. That was a guy named, appropriately enough, Jihadist John in Michigan, who was a big super fan of the show years ago in the early 2000s and was like a biggest fan. And he just gave up on sports radio. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird story what happened to him. But he was upset because his teams didn't win. And he said, my teams don't win by the time I turn 40, I'm never going to watch. And he didn't watch. He was a man of his word. He stopped listening and gave up sports and all that. But I think the militia is a noble group. And if you look at the definition of a militia, it's a military force that is raised from the civil population to supplement the regular army. It's a support staff for the army in an emergency. Right, that's why we have the Maller Oath. Now, we haven't done the Maller Oath on the show. If you want, call up next week, this coming week here. We'll do the Maller Oath. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think we have to. But if we did change it, what would we call it? I don't know. We'd call it the Mallard Armed Forces, the Maller. How about this? Benny's Battalion.
Yeah, that's good.
You like that? Yeah. Benny, but that's offensive also, though. Benny's Brigade or, you know, something like that. Yeah. Because that kind of rhymes. Or Maller's Military or, you know, I don't know.
Maller Mob?
Oh, Mob, yeah. I could do that. I could be the underboss. You could be the underboss. I'll be the mob boss. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
There you go. We'll have a bunch of captains. That actually probably would work better than militia.
No, because then all these militia members would want to have a rank.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't want to just be the soldiers. They are or the what do they call the lower in the mob? What's the lowest rank in the mob?
I don't know. I'd like a gopher.
They had the boss. They have the underboss. They have the captain, and then below that, I forget what it is. The lowest rank. Look it up.
I'll have to watch Goodfellas again.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, Chris in Maquetta, Iowa. I think I'm butchering that. We've had that before. Chris is a regular. He says, for Gascon, what are your favorite bets on the craps table? You sounded like a don't player on a previous podcast. For your information, everyone hates don't players.
Yeah. So I don't play the don't come line. I will only play either no tens or no fours. And basically, Ben, what that means is this, because you've played craps before, right?
What I have done with craps, I don't understand craps. I just follow the person who's deemed hot and just mimic their bets at the craps table.
Yeah.
So I'm the worst person when it comes to this. But I hear a lot of noise in the back of the casino back when, you know, normal times during the apocalypse, before the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And I'll go over there and I'll say, okay, this guy's winning some money. I'm going to put some money down on whatever he's doing, you know?
Right. Yeah, so. Well, so follow me on this then real quick, because the point of craps is when you have your initial roll, like your first roll, the goal is to either roll a 7 or an 11. And so if you're betting on that roll, you want to hit a 7 or 11, any kind of combination, okay? So if you do not hit 7 or 11 and you hit any number that ranges either from 4 to 10, the pit bosses will have a marker, and that marker will go on that number. So let's just say, for argument's sake, your opening roll was not a 7, it was not 11, but it was a 6, okay? Yeah. Because the game of craps is probability, 6s and 8s are your highest probability of numbers to be rolled outside of a 7. Okay?
Okay.
So the only way for you to make more money now on your initial bet is that you have to now hit another 6. And you have to hit the 6 before you roll another 7. If you roll a 7, the entire table loses. Now, I either bet no 4 or no 10. The reason why I bet either no 4 or no 10 is I'm betting at any time that you will never roll a 10 or a 4 before you roll a 7. And the reason why is because the 4 and the 10 are the lowest probability on the board outside of you rolling snake eyes or boxcars, which is double sixes.
Oh.
So when I bet, though, here's the kicker, though, is that if you want to bet, and let's say you want to bet like $25 that you'll roll a 7 or 11 and you win $25, I can't do that. If I bet like a no 10 or no 4, I have to bet $50. So the odds are 1-2, not 2-1. So it's 1-2 odds. So I have to bet $50 just to win $25.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So it's a very patient and like methodical approach. So to answer his question, I don't fade the table. I just fade the shooter from rolling a 4 or 10. Because if any time you roll a 7 or you hit your number, like you hit the 6, I don't lose my money, but I don't win any money where everybody else does.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm going to have a headache if we talk more about this. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Vegas, baby.
When are you going? We were supposed to go to Vegas.
Trip. That's, I know. Don't
remember. I talked to somebody who was in Vegas recently. They said it sucks.
It does.
All the restaurants aren't open the way they used to be. The stuff's closing down early. Even the casinos are open, but nobody's socializing. Everyone's plastic up everywhere, and they got to wear the mask the whole time.
Isn't Robbie, or don't you have a couple followers that are poker players that are in Sin City?
Oh, Rob in Vegas. Yeah. I've got a couple guys like that.
Do they play anymore, or what do they do?
I don't know. They haven't told me. I'm not sure. All right, Dave writes in from St. Paul, Minnesota. He says, how do you feel that Joe Kelly got a longer suspension than any of the cheating Astros? Well, Dave, we talked about that on the radio show. I did several monologues. Wait, probably too many monologues about the Dodgers and the Astros. But Rob Manfred is a co-conspirator in what the Astros did. He's the getaway driver. He didn't rob the bank, but he was outside the bank, and he was ready with the car running and jump in. Let's get away. And it's just wild. I guess the analogy is somebody steals something from you, and the police don't do anything, whatever. And then you eventually get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm gonna do something to this person, and then they get you for, they're like, what? No, you're not supposed to. They're allowed to steal whatever they stole, but you're not allowed to get your revenge.
Yes.
Bullshit is what it is. Ethan in Akron writes in. He says, who is the voiceover guy for Fox Sports Radio? Is it a real person? I was watching a Dodger game with the radio feed, and I heard him on one of the Dodger ads. If he's a real person, you guys should get him on, Ethan says. Well, Ethan, it is a real person. It's a voiceover artist, and that's all he does is voice commercials and the imaging for Fox Sports Radio. And I'd be cool getting him on. I don't know the current voice guy. The early days of Fox Sports Radio. Oh man, I'm having a mental block here. Damn it. The voiceover guy, who's now the voiceover guy for ESPN, was the voiceover guy at Fox. And we interviewed him. We were doing shows at the Fox lot, and we had him in. And this guy lived, what a great life. He worked out of his house, kind of like what I'm doing now. But he said the big money in voiceover is for movie trailers. He did a few of those. And the guys in L.A., they'll pick you up in a limo. Probably now you just do it from your house. But they pick you up in a limo. They take you to a little booth at the studio. You have like an hour voice session. And they pay you thousands and thousands of thousands of dollars. And you end up working like about an hour a day to save your voice. But I'd be cool. It'd be interesting to have him on and ask what it's like to be a voiceover guy. You want to track him down, Gascon? Talk to Vito or some of the guys in the back there and see if we can get his name?
Yeah, I can try to do that. Wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
See if I hunt him down. Yeah.
Probably build a company for the podcast.
That's true.
All right, I would. Andy writes in from Long Lake, Minnesota. That's offensive. Long Lake. What if you're not long? Who is going to buy the Timberwolves? KG and his billionaire boys club or Ziggy Wolf? Well, that's a great question, Andy. My theory on this is, A, if all things are equal, it's Kevin Garnett, right? Because if big ticket, you look at how the NBA is, and they want to get more former players involved in the upper ranks of the NBA for several reasons. But I got to think that if Garnett, and by all accounts, he's gotten, was it three or four billionaires together? If he's close or the same, they go with him. So I would say it's up to that. And if the money's a lot different and if it's not close, highest bidder wins. Highest bidder wins. Carlos in Houston writes in. He says, Boston cream pie or banana cream pie? And when is Skeeter in Montana getting his pie party? All good questions. I love Boston cream pie. It's wonderful. I've had it at the first hotel in Boston where they claim the legend is that they first served Boston cream pie. Banana cream pie for the win. Banana cream pie for the win.
Yeah, no dispute on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the reality. It's just in some parallel dimension, it's Boston cream pie. And as far as Skeeter, I owe Skeeter a phone call. He gave me like a 3-hour window to call him, so I need to call Skeeter. But I don't know when the party got pushed back, but we'll still have the party. We'll honor Skeeter. Miguel on Fire from Rancho Cucamonga writes in. He says, Ben. And Gascon, if you two were multi-talented musicians, what genre of music would you guys most likely be playing? Pretty nuanced. I could play any genre of music. But if you're going into music, most guys go into it to get the full effects of the perks of the music, which is the lady. So I, you know, some kind of rock, right? Some kind of, what's that? Or what's that? Who's the guy that, is he still popular? Dave Sheeran? Is he still a big deal? He's getting a lot of attention, you know, from the other fairer sex, right?
Man, I might go classical. Like, I might go, I think you can't go wrong with, see, here's the thing. With piano, you can play the piano into any kind of genre. So if you're doing that for also the female companionship,
yeah,
you get some high net worth females that are.
Yeah. You do like the Cougars. The Cougars are coming. The Cougars are coming.
Yeah, of course.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Moving Man Matt writes and he says, currently I'm in North Bend, Washington. Why on earth Brian Finley? He makes Jared from Subway a candidate for babysitting.
Oh, my God.
Dude's a creep. And Gascon sucks is from Moving Man Matt. Well, this is a little harsh on Finley. Finley's heart is in the right place. I mean, a little over the top on some of the fun that we were having. Yeah, a little carried away there. But we'll get him. He keeps filling in for Eddie, and Eddie takes more time off. And eventually, we'll whip Brian Finley into shape. I'll be like one of those NBA China basketball camps. We'll whip him into shape.
Man, they were saying that article was that 13-year-olds are getting drilled in the face by 40-year-old coaches.
That seems reasonable. If you don't listen, boom, right in the schnoz. Jason said, Moving Man Matt would rather be served Jello shots by Bill Cosby at a pool party hosted by Jerry Sandusky than listen to Brian Finley. That's a good line, Jason. That's a funny line. I'm guessing Brian Finley, Oakley Dokley Doo, probably will not find that funny. He will not find the humor in that at all, but so what? Marco from Oakdale writes, and he says, is there a chance that the Finley fanatics will take the Maller militia to lunch someday, or will we be divided? And then he says, Marco says, Finley fanatics' lives matter, is what he says. Well, there you go. Look at that. There's things popping up here. Sound effects popping up. That was clearly a screw up by somebody. I will say no. The Finley fanatics don't even exist. They're a figment of Brian Finley's imagination. There's no such thing as the Finley fanatics. It's all just a made up operation. So forget about that. Let's see here. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Ulysses in Virginia Beach writes in, do you think the NFL will ever play the same players in offense and defense? If not, why? Every other sport does it. Well, Ulysses, I'll answer it this way. All right. They don't do it because they're worried the players will be worn out. They want them fresh for the fourth quarter of games, and it's physically draining, and it gives the other team an advantage if you're playing a couple of players both ways, but fourth quarter, they're not going to have any energy left. But with the pandemic the way it is, I am relatively confident that if they lose enough players, we'll see more and more two-way players. We're going to see that.
Did you play two ways back in the day when you played?
I did a little bit. I played on the offensive line. On goal line situations, I played on the defense.
Yeah, okay. Defensive line, defensive end, nose
guard?
Yeah,
defensive line. I was the guy in the middle to plug it up so they couldn't run in the middle because I took up the middle. All right, who's next? Ricardo from Fresno writes in and says, hey, Ben, do you not believe in momentum or momentum in sports? Well, Ricardo, I don't know how long you've been listening, but I do not. Momentum is a weasel term. It's right there with home field, the locker room chemistry, savvy veterans, all championship pedigree, bulletin board material. These are terms used by sports media people to explain the outcome of an event. And my proof on that is when the outcome that is expected does not happen, then those things are never mentioned. For example, like if the Patriots, when they beat the Rams, they talked about the championship pedigree and the savvy veterans and the experience, Super Bowl experience. If the Rams had won that game and it came down to the fourth quarter, none of that would have been mentioned. None of that would have been mentioned. And, like, you know, team chemistry, that was a big one for me because I covered the Clippers in the 90s, were terrible. And they got along. They hung out together on the road. They all loved each other. There was a brotherhood in the locker room. And they got out in the court, and they were dribbling down their chin, if you know what I mean. Not on the court. They just couldn't do anything. They were terrible. So I don't believe in that stuff. I do believe in, like, actual momentum. If you push something down a hill, the momentum will pick up. But as far as actual momentum in sports, there's things like confidence that I believe in. And, you know, people get confident. When you're confident, you do something, you can do it over and over and over more effectively. But anyway, so that's that. Joe in Virginia Beach says, are the furloughs over? I'm not dissing the replacements. I listen to some of them on the weekends, but my schedule works perfectly with Cooking with Roberto, Puck the World, Instant Advice Line, etc. I look forward to those bits. My local is forcing the sports junkies on us. All right, so I can't address the sports junkies. I don't know what's going on with that. That's a local programming decision. I don't know those guys. Maybe they're good guys. I have no idea. But as far as the furlough thing, yeah, I mean, Eddie, I believe, is done. I am not. I still have a lot of furlough time left. I'm most likely going to take some of it in August. I'm trying to get it out. I don't want to take any time off during football, the NFL, because I'm confident there will be an NFL season. So I'm going to take maybe a couple long weekends in August. So I am warning you, and I'll try to let everyone know. But I have a lot of furlough time left. I've only used, I think, a few days of it. So we have that. Let's see here. Barry in Chattanooga, Tennessee says, of all the game shows that you do on your program, what is the one you like the best and which one do you like the least? Which one would Gagon do the worst at? Well, Gagon would be bad at all of them. But my favorite games, Maller's Mountain of Money has become a big favorite of mine. I love Password, using the Maller maneuver. That's kind of cool. Years ago, my favorite was Balderdash, but we used to call it Jeopardy. Back when we called it Jeopardy, we do like two segments of it. The one that I'm not the happiest with would most likely be Coach Player Entertainer. It's one of the reasons we don't do it every weekend. I just think that doesn't, I think there's something missing from it. I don't know what it is. I like the concept of it. It's been good occasionally. But maybe we need some tweaking. I'd be open to a new game. If you want to suggest something that you think would be a good radio game show, Barry in Chattanooga or you listening, feel free to email me. I'm open to it. I'm absolutely open to it. Let's see.
Games are probably a little bit better than Power Hours. So,
still upset about that. You're still upset that Cowboy in Windsor was a bigger star than you. Yeah, you're annoyed by that. Yeah. I know you had your minions reach out to me. Why don't you do a guest gun power?
Nothing of the sort. Yeah.
I know you did.
I'm usually asleep at that time. So.
John from Shithole, Colorado writes in. He says, hey, Ben, do you ever let your right hand know what your left hand is doing? No, I do not. I do not. RJ in San Antonio. He's temporarily, he says, in Bremerton, Washington. He says, what kind of tacos do you prefer to eat? What kind of toppings do you put on your tacos? Well, I'm a crunchy taco guy. I like the Gringo tacos. Tito's Tacos is the holy land of tacos in the Los Angeles area in Culver City. It's just east of the 405, thank God. I wouldn't go there if it was west of the 405, but it's just east of the 405 freeway in Culver City, and I love that place. I would eat there. I actually did eat there twice a week when I lived closer to it. Now I go there once every 4 months to get my fix, but that would be the one. Will in Virginia says, Ben, I just saw, as far as toppings, I'm basic. I'm meat, cheese, lettuce. That's it. I don't maybe, you know, throw some other stuff you want, but that's what I need. Will writes in, says, hey, Ben, I just saw a Fox News story where San Francisco bus driver was beaten with a baseball bat for not letting three men not wearing masks on his bus. Was that Lance the bus driver? And no, it was not. And then he says, when will the Giants try using those bats during a game? Well, that's a good line. It's a good line. All right. I think that's it, Gascon. Are we good? Yes?
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you. Another weekend in the books. You put it on the board. Yeah. Outstanding. All right. And cameo. Follow us on social media. Anything else to promote, Gas Gun?
That is it. Just make sure you rate the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, give us 5 stars, and tell your friends and your enemies.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back Sunday night into Monday, 2 a.m. on Monday in the East, 11 p.m. in the West, and we'll have the first weekend of basketball. We'll break down the good, the bad, and the ugly of that and everything else. But have a great rest of your day.